Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Spain and Anne Guest.
Welcome along to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. This is episode number 91. You're with myself, Paul Spain.
Chin Edrisuria.
And I'm Paul Boshoff.
Hey, great to have you both with us here on the New Zealand Tech Podcast. Chin, this is the first time you've been on the show. You're with HP. Tell us what your role is, where you fit into Hewlett-Packard in New Zealand.
So I look after both consumer notebooks and consumer desktops in New Zealand. So my responsibility is to make sure we end up with the right product in the market.
Great. And Paul, nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much.
Been some time since we've had you in here. I think we were talking about touchpads, which takes us back a little bit.
Does take me back a bit. The good old days.
Yeah. what's happening at the moment? You're in the general manager role for
Yes. My official title is a general manager for the Printing and Personal Systems Group, and what that really means is part of the excitement in the last year internally inside HP has been to put the printing and the PC businesses into a single business unit.
Great, great. Well, let's dive into it now. First up, we've been just before we started, we've been chatting around Windows 8 and a bit of the excitement that's starting to build there. Chin, tell us a little bit about what's on HP's roadmap and what we'd like you to see, and then we can chat through one of the upcoming devices that you've brought with you.
So in the next month or so, we've got some great products coming to market. Obviously, with the new operating system coming up, we've refreshed our entire notebook lineup and also our desktop lineup, including our all-in-ones as well. So on the notebook front, obviously, we've got some new platforms coming out. Some I can't talk about today, but some we can.
Come on, you can tell us. We won't tell anyone.
Hey, it's always the case, right?
It's just between friends. No one's listening.
So what we've got is we've refreshed our compact range, our pavilion range. We've got a new offset in our branding coming through as well. So we've got a really rich roadmap coming up over the next 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. So
Windows 8 really is sort of a pretty big sort of line in the sand to sort of cross in terms of, you know, with product announcements. You've got a lot that's really lined up around that.
Definitely. I mean, when we're looking at it, when we ship 100% of product with Windows, I mean, it points out that we had to refresh our entire lineup, and we are very excited about it. And it's not only just on the notebook front, it's on the desktop front as well. And it's all the touch technology that's coming through. It's about the different specs that we can get everything lined up in a perfect...
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen a number of sort of announcements, I guess, come through this year, not just Intel, but also, you know, AMD as well. And we've got the new Atom processors and initially we heard that those were due early 2013, but you're going to be releasing those in some of your upcoming touch products, right?
Yep, you're right. So we've got a couple of products that we've got in the roadmap in the next month or so that'll have the Clover Trail processor in it.
Cool. Now, Paul, from where we were last year, and we were sort of talking touchpad, and there was some nice hardware there, an operating system that was looking pretty cool. That sort of, you know, HP sort of moved on, and
let me remind you, sold for a very good price.
yes, we're very happy with the price on those units. Now, are we going to get Windows 8 on those old touchpads that came out last year? Is there going to be any way to sort of wangle that onto anyone's old touchpad?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I hadn't really thought about that, but there's certainly a huge population, a disproportionately big population of those touchpad users here in New Zealand. And I've heard people doing all kinds of interesting things with them beyond just selling them on Trade Me. So yeah. I would imagine there's probably an opportunity. Who knows?
Yeah. It's been fun to see what some people have done with you know, putting multiple operating systems on them and the like. I mean, there is always a keen community that sort of like to do things with these devices that maybe wasn't intended in the initial designs.
We had one guy who is one of our more I guess consistent customers. He's tried to start a user group for touchpads here in New Zealand, and he had a whole meeting in one of the shopping centres and got about 60 people to turn up.
I've
lost touch with what happened after that, but yeah, they certainly seemed very passionate about the product, which was very encouraging for us.
I still use one myself, and it's still a good functional product. I mean, it's great to use, and I still enjoy mine. Yep.
So, but it's all sort of coming down to all being about, you know, Windows 8, I guess, at the moment. Although, interesting, we had, there was a comment from HP CEO, Meg Whitman, around HP and mobiles recently, which seems to suggest that we might see some new smartphone products from Hewlett Packard in the future.
Oh, mobility is a really important part of the market for us, and I think any tech vendor would say that. And you know, going back to the operating system discussion, WebOS is in the public domain, and it's been put there to see if there's a future. And I've certainly heard Meg also personally state that interoperability and multiple platforms is in our future. So the plan with putting WebOS out there was to see if it has a future, and you know, whether it would survive in the sort of more open systems forum. And if so, we'll launch more products based on that. But for now, all of the exciting new products are definitely Microsoft Windows 8. And as Chin said earlier, it's a really exciting opportunity for us. 50% of the market here in New Zealand is around the consumer product, which is where the Windows 8 adoption we expect to be almost instantaneous. You know, certainly in the corporate space, it takes a little bit longer.
Sure.
But a really exciting step change for us always when there's a major operating system change like this.
Yeah. And when we go back to WebOS, I think it was just in the last few days, wasn't it, that we've seen the release of the new open source version of that, the open WebOS sort of just come out. So yeah, that will be certainly a space to watch and see what happens with it. But at this stage, that release, I don't think will go on to the old touchpad devices and phones. So a bit of a watch and see. Now, just, you know, curious in terms of what devices do you guys use for a smartphone? Because obviously this isn't somewhere in what, you know, something that HP now have as a product. Chin, we were talking earlier that in the past you'd used an iPhone and you're now using, what are you using?
HTC One X. I'll have to say it's a good phone. It's been a bit of a change, but I enjoy it.
What's sort of the highlight for you of the One X? Why did you make that sort of that change, I guess?
The decision was made based on the functionality of it, purely based on screen size, just good for emails. That's one of the major points for me on the phone. So,
and would you be able to go back to a smaller screen, or once you get used to that bigger screen, that's kind of it's hard to change again?
I would compromise for battery life.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I would do. Yep. So if I get longer battery life out of a smaller screen, that would definitely change.
Yeah. I think that is one of the challenges with some of the smartphones, particularly Android, where it seems to draw a bit more on power. Even with these newest releases, sort of Android 4.0, 4.1, still, you know, runs through the battery probably quicker than the other mobile operating systems in the space. But yeah, very nice handset sort of. Overall, a lovely screen, right?
Yep. You struggle, but on the flip side, you have to look at when you're using data all day, when you're on voice calls all day, you do get only a day of use out of it. So it is what it is, I suppose.
So how long do you get out of it? Do you get till 6 o'clock? Do you get till?
I think I get it till about 8 o'clock at night. Then I probably have to plug it in.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Yeah. And Paul, what are you using now?
I have a Samsung.
Okay. Yep.
So the S2 still, but love the phone. I think it's a really nice form factor. That really what sold me more than anything. So while we're still on bring your own device, I guess we've all got whatever we choose to use. But watch this space. I'm certainly looking forward to going back to my old HP WebOS phone. I really thought they were awesome. So maybe a next incarnation of that at some point, hopefully.
Fascinating. Okay, good. Now, let's talk about these new Windows 8 devices that are coming through. You've got laptops with... It's all about touch, really, isn't it, with Windows 8?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the major functionalities of the new operating system that's coming out. But we have to always keep in mind there are devices that's not going to have the touch functionality as well, and that'll still remain a bigger part of the market. So we had to be mindful of what's coming out, and there's a great product set that's coming out, and we're really excited about it. But there's two sides, I suppose.
Well, I guess we can buy a PC today that's going to run Windows 8. In fact, you know, businesses can already license and use Windows 8, and we have the retail launch coming October 26. So, in terms of the standard PCs, are there going to be any sort of exciting technology jumps for the, you know, those that don't need the touch type capabilities that we should expect around Windows 8 or any time soon, or is now as good a time as any to buy a PC that's going to run Windows 8?
I think it is. At the moment, it's a good time to buy a PC. I mean, we've got some great price products out there on the market with Windows 7. We've got some great exciting products coming out with Windows 8. I think it depends on each individual's preference.
Hmm.
And we have a program also for people still buying Windows 7 machines to upgrade to Windows 8 at a later stage. So especially in the small business or large business environment, that's very valuable. So we're trying to keep the market going on both sides of the introduction. And I think that's a really important thing for the vendors to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're hearing across, you know, most of the vendors and or right across the board, is New Zealand $20 to upgrade if you buy a Windows 7 machine now, $20 to upgrade to Windows 8?
$34.99.
Maybe that's a US price.
Yeah, $20 is a US price. New Zealand's $34.99.
Yep. Okay. So it's not a big a big deal if you want to, you know, get a machine now. You're still going to be able to get Windows 8.
Exactly.
Okay. Now I guess we talked about touch as kind of the, I guess the exciting thing around Windows 8, Windows 7. You know, Microsoft sort of started building in those touch capabilities, but you know, it wasn't really to a level that, you know, most people found that it was, you know, heavily useful. But Windows 8 sort of seems to have, you know, been really that whole, you know, touch-first sort of analogy, certainly around the new, you know, Metro UI or whatever Microsoft are calling it this week. That's all around touch. So what are the products that that HP is bringing to market? Because we've had the TouchSmart products in the past, haven't we, in terms of, you know, PCs and so on. Are you doing, you've got something similar coming through?
Yeah, so we've had the TouchSmart 320 and the TouchSmart 520 and also the TS16 in the market for good 18 to 24 months now. We've got the revisions of those coming out with Windows 8, and also we've got a couple of additions in the notebook front as well. So exciting and rich roadmap.
Good. Now, the notebooks that are coming through with a touch screen, where do they fit in the market? Are they consumer products or business products? Are you covering sort of all the bases with touchscreen notebooks and ultrabooks?
From the consumer perspective, which is the part that I look after, we've got definitely products coming out to cater for that market. I am unsure of what the commercial segment will bring out, but Paul can
certainly
probably.
Yes, and you know, broadly speaking, the notebooks are mostly non-touch in the commercial space, but we certainly have all-in-ones, which is very similar to the TouchSmart that you refer to as a commercial product. So where appropriate, but I'm sure these things are going to change as we see, you know, the Windows 8 launch is generally speaking a more gradual launch in the commercial space. In the consumer space, it's a step change, and with that comes the opportunity to introduce products as the adoption rate takes up in the commercial space. So I think it's more a priority to get the consumer products in and ready and timed well in terms of the launch, and I'm pretty sure that we've done a really good job in terms of that. So, and the rest of it will follow in the commercial space.
Good. All right, now we'll come to what HP's doing in the tablet and hybrid type space shortly. But a couple of other topics that I thought would be just good to cover on that are pretty topical. We're hearing that maybe there's a new iPad coming to market, iPad Mini. So there's talk of that coming out October 17th. Either of you guys use iPads at all?
I don't.
Used as an owned or used? Yes, not owned.
No. Okay. What do you think about the fact? I mean, most of the tablets that we're seeing are usually in the sort of larger form factor. And Paul, I remember last year when you came into the studio, you brought with you a touchpad that hadn't been announced or seen anywhere publicly in the world, which is a little sort of smaller form factor. What's your
great memory? I should be very careful about what I say around you.
Oh no! We didn't say anything about it, but it did eventually end up. There was some media coverage, I think, a couple of months later, and Gadget showed it off. But it was nice of you to
You saw it first.
To see it before it sort of hit the mainstream media. Yes. But there's that sort of smaller form factor device, and obviously, you know, HP has done some work in that space before. Do you think there's much of a demand for that? I mean, we're seeing... we've got floating around here, a number of tablets from different vendors. We've got the Google Nexus 7, which is in that smaller form factor. What do you guys like in terms of a tablet sort of form factor? Do you think, you know, there's a preference sort of either way that the market's moving to? Why would Apple be heading in this direction?
Maybe from a personal point of view, I think freedom of choice is important, and having those options is crucial. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. I've used 7-inch tablets in the past, HP and non-HP ones, so I kind of like something which is small and portable. For me, I still prefer my notebook, and a tablet is really an alternative somewhere between the mobility of a smartphone and the functionality of a notebook. And certainly when the Ultrabook was launched, that for me made the notebook just so much more portable that it put pressure on the need to have a large tablet device. So I think it's awesome. I think the more choices the users and consumers have out there, the better it is for all of us. My personal view.
Yeah.
Probably agree with Paul on that, because end of the day, I mean, it's a personal choice, right? So would you rather prefer a 7-inch versus a 10-inch? So.
Well, it's certainly good that we're starting to see a range of offerings in the market. And, you know, I guess, you know, big players like HP, you guys are in a position to sort of release things at wherever you see that the consumer demand is. So, you know, no doubt over time, I'm not sure if you've got anything coming in the smaller sort of sizes, but, you know, if Microsoft allows that and so on, that we'll probably see a mix of sort of form factors coming through in the market, even on the Windows side, do you think?
I mean, if you just going back onto the size and the form factor, I mean, if you take the notebooks, for example, we've always had a netbook that's 10.1 inch and a 14 inch notebook and a 15.6 and a 17 inch screen, right?
Yeah, it's a fairly big bit of variety.
Variety. So it's all about having that choice. I think it's, end of the day, it's consumer's choice in terms of what size they go for. So
as long as the product's available in the market, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone sort of announced anything in those sort of smaller form factors around Windows 8 yet at this stage. From HP's perspective, you guys don't have an actual product.
We haven't announced anything, and I think it's early days, but I think they're going to be really exciting products from all the vendors to follow. Now, operating system is out there. Everyone's got something to focus on. It's a good alternative to the products that are already out in the market. And, you know, for me, I just see opportunity at every single product launch that comes out from this point onwards.
Yeah, good. Now, something, you know, mentioning Apple there with this potential iPad mini. Last week, of course, was the iPhone 5 launch, and we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. Last week we had hands-on with the iPhone 5 ahead of its New Zealand launch. But it's been quite interesting to watch the some of the media responses to that launch here in New Zealand, and just from general public. I went to the launch events at Telecom and Vodafone had, both which were well attended, and you know they did a big job, I guess, to get them hyped up and to generate a bit of a queue at those launch events in Auckland, the midnight launch. Although we heard, you know, other parts of the country, such as Dunedin, there were not so many people queuing, which is interesting because we sort of expect there to be these big queues for Apple products. It's sort of become a bit of an institution around the Apple products. Any idea whether there's going to be, you know, any sort of big launch events from you guys, or, you know, obviously you partner with Microsoft in terms of them launching Windows 8, you'll be a launch partner on that. Are there going to be any events that we should expect in New Zealand around that, or is that stuff still under wraps if it's going to happen?
Yeah, I think if we told you, it wouldn't be a surprise anymore, but this is a fundamental and very large opportunity for all of us, all the hardware vendors, for Microsoft, for all of our partners, both in the retail and the commercial space. You don't launch a product like this of this magnitude without any activity. So watch this space. I definitely don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I think it's a really exciting time ahead, certainly for the customers and for all of our channel partners and supporters. I think it's going to be an awesome, interesting time.
So there might be something worth queuing for, you think?
I'm very sure. There's always something worth queuing for at any HP retailer at any point in time, I'd say.
Well, it just seems that Apple own that sort of thing with their product launches around the, you know, building that buzz up. There's some sort of hype that they get that.
They've definitely built a cult around the product, and yeah. I have huge respect for that and admiration. I think they've done a great job as far as that's concerned. We were talking about the phone situation earlier, and, you know, I think the gap between all of the different vendors certainly has narrowed to an extent. And I think Windows 8 coming into the tablet space is going to have that same effect. We were talking about this early on smartphones, but I think it's going to have that same effect on tablets. And, you know, we're very excited to be part of that. We've had corporate pent-up demand for Windows tablets for quite a long time, and people have sat it out. Not everyone, but a lot of customers have just sat it out. So I'm very excited to finally have a product to market running Windows, and I think it's going to be a really good fit for corporate customers and consumers.
Yeah, that's quite a good point around the corporates, because, you know, we certainly are seeing that a lot of businesses have sort of jumped in and started to use iPads for, you know, very specific things, but I think there's a lot of concern from sort of corporate IT departments around, you know, how manageable they are and how well they fit in when the large majority of what the business runs is sort of Windows based. So yeah, I think you're probably right there.
That single operating system is definitely easier.
There is quite a demand there for the Windows based tablets. So we're looking forward to seeing what's going to come through and how quickly those things are going to get into the market. Now, one other bit of news that we got in the last few days actually just came through after the iPhone 5 launch was that Telecom have announced that they're going to be speeding up their 3G network here in New Zealand. So at the moment, their peak sort of speed they can technically reach, although, you know, usually these technical limitations, no one actually gets to quite to that speed. Currently, I think it's 21 megabits on their network, and they're moving to this dual carrier HSDPA, which potentially gives 42 megabit download speeds. Chin, what's your thought on getting that sort of speed on a mobile device? Do you need that fast to deliver down to your to your laptop or tablet or smartphone, that sort of performance?
Honestly, say Paul, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I've ever actually used the maximum speed off my phone or the network capacity. So without knowing what my top speed
is. Not something you usually measure sort of day to day, is it?
Of course you need it.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, if you're always after the latest and the greatest fast and the fastest, then yes, definitely.
Fast enough is never fast enough, is it?
Well, it's interesting.
Bring it on.
Skip sent me some tweets last week around, you know, comparing the, you know, ultra-fast broadband, which, of course, at the moment only a very small percentage of the population can get, because that's a, you know, there's a big lot of work to actually, you know, dig up the streets and to put that in compared to the sort of speeds that we're starting to see on the mobile networks. And, I mean, it's a fair point that, you know, with a mobile network, it's a, you know, when you just have to put in a cell site, which covers a reasonable area, and most of these cell sites are in, so it's just a software upgrade to improve it, that, you know, the mobile networks are able to roll out these some fast speeds without, I mean, there's a fair bit of investment behind it, but without the sort of delays that it takes to put in fiber into the ground. And we're starting now to see with these dual carrier technology, which Vodafone already have and Telecom bring to market, where we potentially have mobile internet connections that are faster than what we can get at home on a traditional ADSL type connection. So it's kind of exciting in some ways, but the flip side is that your data is very expensive on mobile, right? I mean, what sort of do you guys have any idea on how much data you use at home? Are you big user, Chin?
I probably use about a good 30 to 40 gigs a month. Yeah. Probably not a huge user, but reasonable.
I'm probably in a similar boat when I'm on a DSL connection, so that's not unusual, but
probably the same.
Yeah.
Yeah,
If you would do that on a mobile at the moment, you'd get a pretty big bill, wouldn't you? In fact, I just saw a bill today for somebody who used over their limit on their mobile, and they did an extra gig, and that extra gig cost them about roughly $200. So you just imagine if you were using 40 gigs at home, paying even paying $10 a gig.
Yes.
Just that sort of, we've got there's a big difference, isn't there, between what it costs for mobile data and to get it through a fiber or a DSL circuit.
So I have a question for you, Paul. Where do you think the market's heading? Do you think it's going mobile networks, or do you think people are going to move away from the fixed lines? Or?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think that we're probably, my pick is that we're always going to see quite a big difference between how much data that, or the pricing of data that comes through a fixed connection and the pricing of data that sort of, you know, comes over the air, because of, you know, the bandwidth that's available sort of mobile, the cost to deliver that in terms of infrastructure and upgrades. Once the fiber is in the ground around the country, then, you know, I mean, we're already seeing the likes of Orcon, who are delivering the same price for this ultra-fast broadband capacity as what they do today for ADSL circuits, and the speeds are potentially a lot quicker in general. So, yeah, I think there's going to probably be a need for both for some time to come. I couldn't see any end to it. I think everybody just wants more and more performance for one thing or another. I did a podcast last week with the US organization, and you know, I connected in over my ultra fast broadband connection, and that was just flawless in terms of, you know, how that worked, how reliable it was, how clear the video was. In fact, better than what they've had sometimes for people that are in the US linking into their network.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real benefit of having that consistency that the ultra fast broadband network delivers. Yeah. In a mobile situation, you know, those things can vary a lot. You might have good speed, and then it drops out. So even though your peak speeds might be enough to deliver, and you've also got that bigger latency with the mobile networks as well. So that, you know, it takes longer for the audio or the video to get to the right point. Not really an issue for email and those sorts of things, but for gaming and video conferencing and calling, it definitely makes a difference.
Do you reckon we have enough carriers in the New Zealand market for mobile?
I think 2Degrees, who we can see out the window, coming into the market, has really stirred things up here. And having the three players seems to work quite well for a market of our size. I guess if you have too many players, then it becomes too expensive for each of them to be able to keep up with the play, potentially. You know, there's only probably so many carriers that are country of our, I guess, topology and population can sort of handle, because we're pretty well spread out. You know, you compare New Zealand to, say, Singapore, which is Singapore is a little bit like the size of Auckland, but the whole population of New Zealand is in that space. So you can see why in a country like that, much simpler to actually deliver 3G or 4G type services to the market. But in New Zealand, they've got to have cell sites over a really, really broad space. So, I think what we've got at the moment has worked pretty well. 2Degrees, I think, have done a good job in terms of, you know, some innovative products and services that we haven't seen from the other players. But, you know, I think Telecom and Vodafone are always, working to come up with new things that make them stand out. But you know, at the end of the day, they've all spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on their infrastructure. They're trying to get a return for their shareholders. So it's never. I don't think any of them will ever completely please us. We all want more, faster, better delivery for a lower cost. So it's always a bit of a juggling game for them all, I'm sure. One of the things that actually in that space that I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it seems that we're now seeing prices are starting to edge back up a little bit with some of the business offerings I've seen from Telecom and Vodafone over the last few months. So we saw a period there where there was immense competition, where they were just trying to work out where their footing is and maybe to see what would happen around 2Degrees sort of move into the business market. But it looks like it's actually a bit more expensive to get maybe the right mix of calling and texting and data packages. Have either of you noticed in any of those things, or
seen a few TV ads that they're advertising for business on account customers, but yes, that's probably all, I suppose.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you've got to probably, I follow these things pretty closely with the customers I work with. You know, part of what I'm doing is helping them sort of pick, you know, what technologies to work with, what carriers to work with, and those sorts of things. So we tend to follow it pretty closely, and it's just a trend that we've noticed recently. Is, you know, maybe the competition's not quite as sharp at the moment as maybe it was sort of 6 months or so ago. So hopefully the New Zealand market stays competitive. So I mean, it could be a good question, Chin, around whether we have enough competition or not, whether the three carriers we've got works. But I think it works reasonably well. Hopefully we've got the right mix. So yeah, I guess the next thing in that phase is really this move to the 4G networks, which we saw some numbers over the last couple of weeks with the iPhone 5 and other devices on the 4G LTE networks, and we're seeing, you know, people report 30 megabits or more in terms of download and even upload speeds across the 4G networks internationally. So that's something that certainly will bring the mobile networks, closer to the ultra fast broadband type speeds. But it's going to require probably tens, if not hundreds, of millions of dollars investment again from our local carriers. So how that will impact, what we like to be a downward trend in pricing, I don't know whether that'll halt it or whether prices will bump up again. Not sure, but what we have to do there is wait for the TV broadcasts that are in analog at the moment to all switch across to digital, and that's something actually the first regions just had that happen at the end of September. So, but we've got to wait for that to happen across the country, which is still a couple of years out before we get the 4G. So a little bit of a waiting game there.
Exciting times, though.
As it always is with technology, there's always something just over the horizon,
this
right?
This is true.
Now, coming back to HP, we wanted to talk about tablets and what you guys are doing in that space around Windows 8. Now, Chin, what have you got here?
So, Paul, we've got this great device. It's actually, I can't call it a tablet, I can't call it a notebook, it's a hybrid device. We call it the HP X2. So it's a notebook and a tablet combined together. Pretty much, it's... as you can see here, it's a notebook and a tablet together, and when you want, you can dock the first screen off the base of it, so it actually becomes a tablet. So this is a
11.6 inch screen?
Yes. So it docks off, and that becomes your tablet.
This is a pretty nice sort of style and size of tablet. Wider screen than, for instance, the... what we've seen from Apple, so it's got...
Wide format as well.
Yeah, now most of the tablets are going to come in this sort of form factor.
Our current lineup is, yes.
But there's going to be some other ones that are going to be more in the traditional sort of 3x4 type form factor as well, is that right?
At the moment, we've got the first revision, which is this one that you've got in front of you.
Yep.
We don't have anything else that we can talk about currently.
Yep.
That's in any other form factor.
But this is going to work well with Windows 8, the ability to have two things on the screen at once, right?
Yeah.
You need to have that sort of widescreen, that resolution, because we're talking, 1366 by 768 resolution?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Cool. So show us how that... tell us about how that sort of docks into the keyboard and what that actually means to take your tablet. Because once you dock this, it just looks like a...
notebook, pretty much.
It just looks like a notebook. Seems to work just like a notebook as well, right? So you can actually just run that as a notebook and not separate it at all if you wanted, right?
Yeah, that's right. So once you dock it straight away recognizes the base, and you can start using the touchpad itself. When you dock it off, it simply becomes a tablet. So, and it's quite easy to dock on and off. So you can pretty much just dock it in.
Clips in, clips out.
Clips out.
Yep.
One of the main advantages of this here is you've got a 2-cell battery built into the actual tablet itself. Then you've got another 2-cell battery built into the base as well. So you're pretty much getting extended battery life throughout. Now, we've been using it in the office around the place, and you get some good battery life out of this unit as well. And one thing you have to keep in mind is all the ports, etc., are built into the base of it. So you've got HDMI out, you've got the charging ports, you've got USB and built into the base of this unit. And even SD card slot is here on the base as well.
Right, so if you were going to run this at your desk as your main computer, you would dock the tablet sort of screen into it as you come to your desk, and then you could take the tablet away anytime.
Exactly. You know. So you could have your external hard drive or whatever that's plugged into the base, and when you want to get away to a meeting, all you would do is just dock it off, and off you go. Or you could have this sitting on a desk at home constantly.
Right. And will you be able to get additional keyboards? You have one at home, one at the office.
Oh, you could get sort of thing. Additional keyboards as an option. Yeah. That's no problem. Yeah. We can supply the bases separately.
Yeah. And so are there any ports at all on the tablet, other than to connect to the dock?
Okay, so on the tablet itself, we've got a micro SD slot in there.
Okay.
So we'll put SD on the base itself and micro SD on the tablet itself. Mm. So it gives you an extra bit of expansion if you do need to.
Okay, good. And then you've just got the docking port that you hook into. Now, the battery life, we've been hearing, for a long time about Windows eventually giving us, nice long battery lives on devices. Now, this comes with the new Clover Trail sort of Atom chip from Intel, which is, I guess, the next generation of the chips that we saw, initially in the netbooks that came out. When did they originally come out? 2-3 years ago?
Yeah,
more?
3 years ago.
3 years ago now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this is the next generation dual core 1.8 gigahertz chip, but they run. They're very low power, aren't they? And this is the system on a chip type technology, right?
Yes, it is. But in terms of the battery life that you get out of it, I mean, we don't have any actual ratings as such yet, because obviously this is still the pre-production that we're looking at here. Later on, we'll hopefully be able to give you a better understanding of how much battery life you're going to get out of it. But at the moment, from just using it around the office, etc., we get reasonable battery life, good, 4 to 5, 6 hours, quite easily. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard sort of, rated specs online for some of these Atom, type devices of, somewhere between 5 and 8 hours, depending on usage for, within the tablets. And then by the time you add on, say, keyboard with a battery in it as well, then that usually tends to, at least double it. So, there's potential there, once you've got that, docking into the keyboard, of getting, more than a day's worth of use out of it, which I think is a really big, leap forward, especially considering how light that is when it's just used as a laptop, compared to the laptops that we're using now. I mean, I don't think anything really touches that in terms of that battery life. So it's a good move forward, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, every operating system will get refined, and the product will get refined, and the battery life only gets better and better, right? So it's an ongoing process of making it last longer, I suppose.
Mm. Now, we're very reliant here on Intel from a standpoint with Windows. Still, it seems we've obviously got AMD that are continuing to bring out new processors for PCs and laptops, but it seems like most of the new announcements are still very much based around Intel. It seems like the innovation is still primarily coming from Intel in terms of Windows chips being used on Windows devices. Is that where it lines up with most of the products that HP are announcing? You've got a lot more happening on the Intel side, haven't you, than AMD-based products?
From our side, we have good relationships with both partners, AMD and Intel. We've got a good lineup from AMD as well as Intel.
But it's sort of more, it's definitely more leaning on the Intel side, isn't it? I mean, that's most of your...
mobility space.
Yeah. I mean, the Intel
right now,
seems
I think
to
it's
be,
a point in time.
Yeah, yep. All right. So my hope is that we'll see. There was a window of time there where AMD was really right at the forefront as far as PC performance. Maybe not so much in terms of the mobile devices and low power, but even that to a degree. And then Intel over the last few years seem to have sort of put themselves at the forefront in terms of the higher end product. But we're still seeing stuff come through with the AMDs. Usually, they're competing a bit more on price, I guess, which is always good because we want to have lots of price points, right?
We tend to see waves from either one of the companies. So I think, like I said earlier, it is a little bit of a point in time comparison, and things will change both upwards and downwards. So I wouldn't read anything into it. This particular product is clearly Intel-based, but as Chin pointed out, we certainly expect lots of exciting products from both partners, really.
Now, so in terms of when we're... This is the NV2, isn't it?
NV X2,
sorry. And timing. When would we expect to see that land here in the New Zealand market? You got some indications on that? Because we've got Windows 8 launching October 26, I think, on a global basis. It's going to take a little bit of time, obviously, for some of the products to hit the market, certainly getting to New Zealand. What can we expect there?
We're hoping to bring the product to market probably late November. But it's still to be confirmed. But closer to time, we'll let you know.
Okay. So we may see it in as soon as sort of 8 weeks or so.
Potentially,
if all goes according to plan and there's enough production. Because one of the things around this is that, we mentioned earlier, is that the new Clover Trail Atom processor technology wasn't due to be launched really until next year, and it seems like Intel have managed to sort of speed that up a bit to have some of these things ready for the Windows 8 launch.
Rest assured, we're keen to get it into the market, and we'll do everything that
Hurry
we can
up.
To bring it sooner
Hurry
and sooner. We're doing just
What's
that.
Now?
I'm also pleased to say for the New Zealand consumers that we're certainly one of the first countries to launch in our region.
Excellent.
And we tend, certainly from an HP New Zealand point of view, tend to like to do that.
Good.
So we like to lead, and we certainly feel that we've got the appropriate support in the market and very excited about the prospects of this particular product.
Yeah. Well, I think it does look really nice, and that's one of the things, having played with... most of the other Windows tablet/hybrid type devices, although the NVX2 certainly is able to do the laptop function and the tablet function probably the way it does those together probably better than any of the other products from what I've seen so far. But interestingly, it looks like you're going to be beaten to the market by their offerings. I think we're hopefully going to have some of the other products, such as the ThinkPad tablet 2. What I've been hearing anyway is very close to the Windows 8 launch. Although I think probably everyone is under some challenges in terms of getting these new products to market for launch day.
I guess your suggestion is for the consumers to wait for the best solution. Yep. It's going to be a little later than everyone else, but when it finally gets here, it's going to be worth the wait.
Good things take time.
Excuses, eh? It's good to see it, and I think that's one of the exciting things around Windows 8 is that we're seeing quite a bit of variety actually across the different vendors, and I'm still certainly somewhat undecided around what will be the product
the
that will actually
bullet.
Suit how I work, and I think with this product variety, there's going to be a bit of that going on of people working out, well, what actually suits me and how I work, because we're not used to having a tablet that can convert into a laptop or vice versa. We traditionally have a tablet and a laptop that are quite separate functions that cross over to a small degree, but not the same as what we're going to see on Windows 8. So it's certainly something that's going to be a little bit of wait and see until we get hands on with devices, and we'll certainly try and have hands on with everything on a more extended basis, and talk through that on the podcast once
once we get some more time with them. So, but you're welcome to leave that one here with me, I'm sure, just because it's the only one in the country that there's nobody else who'd be interested in seeing it. So
this goes where I go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you probably should stick around here for the next week or two, Chin. You can work out of the next office.
I don't know how Paul will feel about that.
That's a deal.
He wants me out of the office.
We'll have his parking spot available. To come back to the product, I'm really excited about this. I really think it's got universal application, but where I'm specifically interested in seeing this, the traction we get here is in the education space. For students and scholars, I can't think of a better product than having the flexibility of a tablet, but with a proper, full-sized, integrated keyboard has to be a main, major attraction for all of them. So I'm looking forward to us bringing this into the market and seeing what
happens. So have you got any schools or anything that you've been flashing this around already? Have you had any feedback in the education market on where they think this will fit for them?
We have. It's been difficult getting a single unit around all of the New Zealand educational institutions, so I hope I'm not going to face a barrage of mails tomorrow morning when I get to the office. But we've certainly shown it to many of our existing strong relationships in the education space, and we've only had the most positive feedback.
Good.
So
good.
I really think it's going to be awesome.
Good luck with that. And I think one of the things that I'm interested in seeing is just, it becoming a bit more competitive in the tablet space, and having that option of a device that can do both. So I think it can only be good for the market. Now, talking of keeping things competitive, over the last few days we've seen information come through from BlackBerry about their new BlackBerry 10 operating system. Now, this is quite interesting, because I think on the podcast we've sort of written off BlackBerry to a fair degree over the last sort of 12 months. It seems to be they've been on a downward slide in terms of market share. Their products haven't really changed a lot, and they did make the announcement that we're not going to see this new operating system and the new devices until sometime in the first quarter of next year. So we're still a few months off before we see anything. I think that's going to be an interesting one to follow in terms of will this new operating system, which sounds really, really good, it sounds like it's a bit of a combination between OS X, Android, and Windows Phone, and almost sort of the better elements of each coming together in terms of into a new operating system. The question, I guess, will be whether they've left it too late. Either of you have an opinion on BlackBerry? Have either of you used BlackBerry in the past?
A long time ago, and I really think that at a given point in time it was a great solution. I'd be excited to see a new operating system. It's going to be a big job to get back up to where it used to be, but nothing's impossible. We're talking about all the rapid changes in our industry, and things happen over such a short time frame, so let's see how it goes.
Well, I mean, there's certainly been some suggestions about the BlackBerry operating system being licensed. So I guess that would be an option for HP. I personally can't quite imagine it, but BlackBerry are really trying to work hard, I guess, on a turnaround here. Chin, have you used BlackBerries yourself?
I probably used one 6 years ago now.
Okay,
That's probably the last I used it. So.
Yeah, so would that have been before you went on to an iPhone, or was there something else you used in between?
Oh, I've used a variety of phones over the years.
Yeah.
I tend to change my phones quite often.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Like it does cars.
Fair enough. Well, I think we'll certainly keep a watch on that space and report back once we get hands on with some of these new devices. But again, I don't think it hurts the market at all that we're seeing this continued competition and innovation, and it just helps push everyone along.
And it provides more choice.
Yeah, and that's providing some interesting results. Now, talking about choice. The big sort of thing that we had over the weekend was a letter from Apple CEO Tim Cook that was put online by Apple, apologising about the maps on iOS 6. Now, I think this is quite fascinating, because we don't really expect Apple to be coming out and apologising to us about their products. Have either of you had a look at the maps at all, or you must have seen some of the coverage that's been getting in the media over the last few days?
I've certainly seen the coverage. It is an unusual step, I have to say, but well done.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of two minds seeing this this come through from Tim Cook, because, you know, first of all, an apology is something that's reasonably unusual for any big company to sort of make out to the market, say, sorry, we've made a mistake. But the interesting bit was, you know, further down the letter, which was the recommendation that users look at running Microsoft's Bing for their maps on their phone, or the offering from Yahoo or Waze, which is a sort of an open type user fed mapping system, or even suggesting that people actually go and use a web based mapping such as Google's maps through the browser, or Nokia's browser apps, which I wouldn't have thought would be particularly great experience. You expect to have an app to deliver these things. So yeah, I thought there was
Was it not in the way you hold the phone?
Well, yeah, they've had issues in those regards in the past too.
Maybe that's why the map doesn't work.
Hold it, stand on your head, and but I mean, the iPhone 5 seems to be selling reasonably well out there. The other thing that there was quite a bit of feedback on last week was frustration from users who, you know, really like Apple's iPhone and they just wanted to have the new one, but actually unable to buy it here in New Zealand because they need to sign a new contract, and there seems to be no way you can get your hands on the phone unless you're willing to sign a contract. And we've still got wait times for people that if they order it through the Apple online store, there's a bit of a delay there. So some frustration there for some of Apple's users, but that's, I guess, something that every vendor has to deal with, right? There are always going to be times where there's something that doesn't please the customer or the potential customer, right?
It does happen
from time to time. Now, just having a quick look through some final bits and pieces that we wanted to cover off this week. Applications. Now, from time to time, we like to chat through new apps that are landing in the marketplace. One we spoke about actually a couple of times in the past is some ASB's mobile app. And interestingly, just in the last week, they've made available their mobile banking app on Windows Phone. So that's the first mobile banking app in New Zealand to come out on Windows Phone. And it seems to be a trend we're now seeing across most of the bigger apps that, you know, if we look back 6 months, we weren't seeing so many of the big apps landing on Windows Phone, whereas now most of them just seem to be hitting Windows Phone. And I guess we'll probably see these type of apps come onto the Windows 8 tablets and so on too, right? Mm. Have either of you had a look at some of the local apps that are coming through on Windows 8?
Not Windows 8, but you're coming back to that ASB app. Mm. I mean, I used that myself, and I think it's a big improvement on the previous version that it had on the App Store.
Mm.
It was quite easy to set up. It's allocated to your phone number, etc. It's easy to make transfers across multiple accounts. I think ASB's done a good job with it. Mm. It's a good app. I think they'll turn up something. They're onto something there.
Mm, mm. Well, and you know, I've used that on all the platforms. I've got it on my iOS device, my Android, and now on the Windows Phone. Mm. And the experience is really good across the board. But probably one of the best Windows Phone apps that I've used. So good to see. Great. And we had Ben Gracewood on the show a few weeks ago with Marco Metro, one of the number of companies in New Zealand that are dedicated to doing these apps for Windows 8 and for Windows Phone as well. And it's great to see some of the great applications that are coming out of New Zealand, not just target our local market, but on a global basis as well. So there, you know, a range of apps coming through, like the new New Zealand Herald app for Windows 8. So it's good to see that sort of stuff floating into the market. I guess it's going to take some time for us to see those touch friendly apps come through, though, for Windows 8. From what I'm hearing, there's maybe a couple of thousand in the App Store at the moment.
Which is a fairly small number compared to the other platforms, but I guess Windows 8 hasn't actually sort of launched at a retail level yet. So
it'll grow quickly, I'm sure.
I suppose for each platform, there's must-have apps in New Zealand. You've got to have a Trade Me app, you've got to have a New Zealand Herald app, and so on. So there's some must-have apps for the general everyday user that probably is most you need to have. Otherwise, it's sort of
Now, this isn't exactly an app, more an online service. What I'm talking about is Weedle. Now, this is the new supposed competitor to Trade Me that's sort of launched in New Zealand in the last few days. But unfortunately for them, it seems that they haven't done a lot of due diligence around how they rolled out their website, the security and so on surrounding it. So Weedle is already offline, and it's understood that there was a number of major security issues in the website. One that we have heard about is that people were able to go in and change the reserve price of other members' auctions. And I'm sure if you could do that, there were probably all sorts of other issues. So so for now, Trade Me competitor Weedle has pulled the plug, but no doubt they're going to work hard to try and launch back into the market sometime soon after they've fixed up those issues.
And now the other sort of app that's been interesting to watch, or the player in the market that's needing to have their app out there, is QuickFlix, who are doing similar to what Netflix do in the US with their streaming of movies and TV shows. Now they launched in the Australian market, and then they launched here earlier on the year. Last week they announced, or they made available their streaming app for Samsung TVs. So we're now seeing that space become really, really important, that those apps are actually available on various devices. And QuickFlix, we were expecting to see the Xbox app actually out at the end of September, but we're hearing that's probably still maybe 3 or 4 weeks away. But QuickFlix are now on Samsung TVs, they're on a bunch of Blu-ray players from I think Samsung, Sony, Panasonic. We're able to actually get access to all the streaming content now through quite a few devices, as well as our mobile devices as well. So that's certainly a positive thing to hear about. I'm picking we'll probably see app for QuickFlix as well on Windows 8. Seems that most of the big players are sort of focusing on getting those products out. And something that's maybe a little bit further down the track, and we certainly we haven't heard anything formal about this, but we're starting to see these little dongles that can plug into the HDMI connection on a TV that will be able to run some sort of smart TV type apps, and hopefully we'll see something like that from QuickFlix. We've heard that Roku in the US have something that will be doing that for Netflix and other services. So that's quite interesting to have this little, effectively going to be like a USB type stick that goes into the HDMI port. You can use your traditional TV that you might have bought 3 years ago, and you don't really want to spend thousands of dollars to replace, but to plug one of those in and to get some of that sort of smart functionality. I think that's kind of cool.
Excellent.
All right, well, that really wraps up the show. So thank you, Paul. Thank you, Chin, for joining us here on the New Zealand Tech Podcast.
Thank you for having us again. Thanks.
And now, guys, where's the best place to look online? Do either of you are on Twitter or any of those other social channels if we want to look out for what you've got to say? Or is there a place on the HP site to keep up with what's happening?
I'm certainly on Twitter and on Facebook. You'll find it using my HP email, which is paul.boshoff@hp.com.
Excellent.
I'm on Facebook, and my email address is chin.edirisuria@hp.com. So
excellent. All right. Well, thank you both for joining us here. And for those who want to keep up with my blogging and the like, I'm on Twitter at Paul Spain, and my blog is techjungle.com. And of course, you can find NZ Tech Podcast at nztechpodcast.com. We're on Twitter at NZ Tech Podcast, and we'd like to be liked on facebook.com/nztechpodcast. Hey, thanks everyone for listening in. Catch you next week.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.